CMC, I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by my partner in crime, Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
Mean Janine Gagliardi. Oh,
so mean.
Janine, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. You know, still trucking.
If anything, keep on trucking.
I will.
Never stop trucking. NST.
NST, sure.
Never stop trucking. Sure.
Never stop trucking.
It's so funny. If you listen to the first episode of PCMC, Emilio just sort of goes, welcome to PCMC. And now we say it so often.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to hear him work it out in his head.
He was working out which ones. Yeah. You also used to say babies a lot.
Yeah. I'm glad we don't do that anymore. It's very off-putting. Creeps me out. This is a fully.
It's a fully.
We know that you love a fully.
I love a full.
You love it.
I love to see myself in a full.
You love a throbbing full episode.
I do. I like a fully.
Yes. So,
Do I have notes for this? I'm just shooting from the hip.
We're going to do...
I think I'm shooting from the hip on this one. All right. I got my thoughts in my head.
Fullies have three segments, if you don't know. We do news, kind of. We haven't been doing news.
We don't really
lately.
Do news anymore.
We do trailers and stuff that's coming. It's like we do like coming attractions.
Yeah, we do right before the movie.
And then chill sessions. Mm-hmm. And the then obsessions.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of trailers.
So many.
Even though there's nothing new in it, let's talk about Love, Death, and Robots Volume 3.
Yeah, there's one shot, like you said.
Yeah,
of like
a woman
covered in jewels.
She looks like God Skeletor at the end of the universe. She's gold and just draped in all sorts of finery.
Yeah.
And she's like giving you a come hither.
She's just doing like really fast motion, kind of freaky. But that looks like the still image I saw, because they did release like 6 still images.
Yes.
And I'm happy to say I don't know what's going on in any of them, which is great. But the one that looks like it's from that short, it does appear to be the people who did The Witness.
Yeah.
Based on their style.
Yeah. It's definitely – it's got to be them. I don't know if it's related. We talked about –
No, I doubt it.
When season 2 came out, we talked about will they ever sequelize one of them.
Yeah.
It seems like they might do that with the three robots.
It looks like the robot is back, right? I mean, they've been showing it a lot.
Yeah, those three funny robots from, I think, the very first episode. Depending on
your first
algorithm.
Volume, right?
Yeah, first volume.
Yeah, because my first episode was Sonny's Choice.
Oh, right, you had a different algorithm.
Yeah,
We have to talk about this because...
They don't do it anymore. They're not doing it different order, right?
No, they don't do that anymore. Yeah. No, I was going to say, you and I have to talk about it because... It's our most popular thing.
This is our.
It's always
our
in our top 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Us talking about.
We will be. Don't worry. As long as there are Love, Death, and Robots, we will be talking about it. If they have to replace us with robots because we died.
I was so thrilled when I saw the. I was literally. Because I had that feeling like, oh, when's it coming back?
I know.
And then, like, the next day that.
Right
dropped.
When you felt it.
And it's like coming next month.
It's very soon.
They were like,
very, very
bam.
Soon. I know.
But no new footage. And they still got me.
Yeah.
Do you like. The trailer, it begins with, like, showing the crown and showing Queen's Gambit and being like making fun of their classiness.
Yeah.
And then being like,
it's like 11 time Emmy Award winning
like stepchild or whatever. And then just cool images of all the wildness of that show. It's it's our favorite shit.
It really is. We love it.
I can't wait. They're gonna be a big ass episode of about volume 3 and every volume that comes out.
You better believe it. Tim Miller, right, is producing still.
Yes.
And Fincher is on board again.
Is he?
Is
he in name only, though? I feel like he was more, at least...
For first season, right?
Yeah.
And then he kind of, it looks like he stepped back for second season.
Yeah.
But then it said he was In the press release, it said he was back on.
Oh, okay.
So maybe he just got involved again. But this is like really the second half, kind of. Right.
The season volume two or season two had half the amount of season one. Because I think they want to give a new volume every year.
Yeah.
Which I said I would prefer more, you know, less.
More often. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Me too.
Because I find them very rewatchable.
Me too. Yeah, they're bite-sized. They're all very different. They're beautifully rendered. It's like not a chore to watch them at all.
I think it's the best things happen in animation.
It's great. It's great. And it I would say animators are probably very interested in working on this show because animation is usually pretty limited in terms of what they can do with it. Like it's usually geared towards children or young adults.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they sort of top out at adolescence unless you're doing like an Adult Swim show or something. And then it's like comedy typically. Yeah. And this is, you know, it's pretty hard sci-fi. It's R-rated. You know, you can get away with a lot here.
Yeah.
I would say you can really kind of stretch out. Yeah. Well, we were saying the second volume, the director of Kung Fu Panda 2? Yeah. So it's just like
She did a film. She did a short where like a baby gets shot.
Yeah.
So
yeah. They're just killing kids left and right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. In America, animation is so much more limited than it is like in Japan. So, so it's like, you know, if you're a successful animator in America, you probably make kids' properties. Mm-hmm. So it must be super exciting to be able to like put boobies and violence in your.
Yeah. Or just, they really went wild, volume one. It seems like toned it down, volume two. Yeah, like won an award, so they're like, oh, let's.
Yeah. The sex scene in the Aquila Rift is.
But they do show the stuff from The Witness in this trailer.
Witness was
for it.
Seems to it be won. More iconic.
It's so iconic for them.
Yeah, and it's not one that you and I like that much.
We did not enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beautiful.
But, like, people cosplay as characters from it.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same people, I think, who do the Spider-Verse movies, right?
Yeah.
So that's a very cool, like, style. Like, it looks kind of like it's 3D, but not. So, you know, I like that with every season comes, like, episodes we like, episodes we don't like, episodes that, you know.
Yeah, and we were pretty clear about it, like, when we did the Volume 2 episode. Like, we love all of it. It's just a matter of, like, what we think is a weaker story or a stronger story, whatever it is. So that animation style we like better.
Yeah. So when it comes out next month, we'll do an episode on it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Lightyear trailer.
Okay.
The full trailer came out.
Yes. So it gives us some story.
Yeah.
We kind of didn't know what was up besides the fact that he was a Starman.
Yes.
Going right through the sky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he goes on a mission and I guess...
comes back. It's not time travel, but it is in the sense that it does the space thing of you go to space and you come back and like a million years has passed.
Yeah.
So it's not a time machine.
Yeah, he's Matthew McConaughey's from Interstellar.
Right.
He comes back and he thinks it's his partner and it's his partner's granddaughter.
There's always an identical person, right?
Yes.
Like, there's always someone who is identical to their ancestor.
I'm the granddaughter of that
person. I'm their granddaughter and I look exactly like them.
Yes. It makes it easier for everybody.
Yeah. So, did they end the trailer with damn?
I don't remember.
Okay. Because I thought that's what I heard as it was closing out. And I was like,
did
they do that?
My mind.
Yeah. Because it was like, sorry, it's something I used to do with your grandmother. And I thought the person went damn. and I was surprised.
Because it also sounds like he boned his grandma.
Right. Yeah.
It's a bone joke. I'm here for the little robot cat.
Oh, Socks?
Yeah. That seems like the real...
Is it Alan Tudyk? Because it's always Alan Tudyk.
I mean...
maybe not.
I'm going to look it up right now, but I'd also bet
all of your money.
I'd bet the house on it. I'd bet the whole farm on it.
He's becoming like the new John Ratzenberger. Like, he's in everything that they have.
He's also in any... You got a robot or a bird?
Mm-hmm.
You call two dicks.
You better believe it. And I like him as an actor. Like, I think he's great... as a person actor.
Yeah, I keep saying I want to watch that show that he's in where he plays an alien.
Oh, he's an alien. Yeah.
But I also never do. let's see.
If you can't love Alan at his alien, then you don't deserve him at his bird.
No, Sox is played by Peter Son.
Okay.
Taika Waititi is a character.
Sure.
Did you notice there's a direct homage to Toy Story in the trailer? I noticed immediately.
He's mission log. Yeah.
Yeah, he goes, they never answer.
Yes, why won't they answer? Yeah. We've been watching a lot of Toy Story around here. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, fun. Yeah. And then I like the initial, not the initial, the immediate. She's like, you know, no one ever listens to those, right? Yeah, yeah. Like, why are you even doing this?
Yeah. Right, which is so, yeah, it's an interesting, like, spinoff, because it's, like, not.
Yeah.
Because he's not the same character from Toy Story.
I don't understand, I sort of can't wrap my head around who this person is, because it's like, oh, it's the real person of Buzz Lightyear, except that person never existed, because it's not like Buzz Aldrin, right? It's not like just a straightforward, this person went to space and came back. Story. It's like a sci-fi property, but is it the storyline of a show that exists like in Toy Story universe?
Here's how I think it would be.
Okay.
Imagine that everything that happened in Toy Story is real. Toy Story is a documentary. And right now, Andy is what? In college? He's 25?
Yeah. Well, he might be post-college. Yeah.
Okay. Here comes the gritty reboot.
The reboot of
the show you watched as a kid.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
So when we're watching the movie, Andy will also be watching the movie with
he's
us.
He's an adult.
This is the character.
And now, he's either going to love it or hate it based on how it feeds his nostalgia. Yeah. He definitely has a podcast.
Listen everywhere podcasts are available. It's called Snake in My Boat with Andy. With Andy last name. And I imagine he won't be as naive as the Buzz in Toy Story, but he's got to be similar in manner. He's got to be like brash and hot-headed, I imagine. I mean, there's got to be a continuity in the character.
We hear more of the Chris Evans voice performance.
Yes, which is not in the original trailer, really.
Not really. I think it's very good. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool in the sense that if you're trying to, which I like that approach that you just said about like how to view this film. But I think it's cool because if you listen to him talking, you're like, oh, the Tim Allen performance is someone trying to do his voice.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool.
That's an interesting, yeah. Now, do you think Tim Allen is upset somewhere?
I think he's like, man, I thought this was going to be me. I'm a 67-year-old like, man. Fucking, like, I want it.
Right. Or he's just this thinking, like, woke fucking liberals. If it wasn't for my politics, I'd be in this movie.
Yeah. I wonder if he has a small role anywhere.
I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's been Buzz and everything else. Mm-hmm. He's great.
Or if it's like
Buzz.
His dad or something. Yeah. Or like, not that the real Buzz Lightyear is his actual dad, but just like he would be playing the voice of his dad for a second. That would be fun.
They have yet to, in the trailer, complete the line Infinity and Beyond. You seem to say Infinity.
Oh, yeah, because, okay.
In the first trailer, he goes Infinity, and then it cuts. And then in this one, I think he says Infinity, and then she's like, what are you doing? And that's when he says, oh, it's something you should do with your mom.
Yeah.
Or your grandma. I don't think they have completed the line yet.
Okay.
To Infinity and Beyond.
Oh, I thought they did. Or maybe I just filled it in myself.
Today, when I was in the toy aisle at Target, I was looking at their Buzz Lightyear. Yeah. They have Lightyear figures.
It's weird
life
to
imitating
see.
Art, imitating life, imitating art, imitating right? life, imitating
it's,
art.
It's very weird.
It's the toy of the movie about the toy.
Yeah.
That was a movie.
It's
again, I imagine grown-up Andy picking up the Lightyear toy and being like, you know what? Oh, man, I wish I had kept my vintage one. Because that's probably going to be worth something now with the new movie.
Yep.
Maybe I could get it from fucking, what the hell's that kid's name?
Oh, Bonnie.
Bonnie, fucking Bonnie. Gave her everything. Gave her my heart.
Gave that kid everything. She lost Woody.
You have been reckless with these toys.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I'm interested in what other little like homages and jokes will be in it.
Yeah, with the little Easter eggs we'll see.
Yeah, I wonder if little kids will like this though.
I don't know.
Kids who like I don't know. Toy Story, you know?
I don't know.
I like that it's Zurg though. It's the bad guys look like the classic
Emperor
bad
Zurg.
Guy. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know what age. Well, I think I do know. I'm gonna answer my own question. I think that this movie is not for the people who Toy Story is marketed towards, right? Like, Toy Story is, even though it's a very enjoyable film franchise, I think, for grown-ups, you know, it's marketed for little kids to enjoy.
Sure.
And they can enjoy it, and they don't necessarily pick up on the, like, the heavier elements. I don't think this is the same way. It looks a little more intense.
So you think it is for grown-up Andy?
No, I think it's for, like, eight-year-olds, right? Okay. So not, like, four-year-olds.
Oh, okay. So maybe...
Like, it might be a little scary for a four-year-old.
Maybe if you were a kid when three came out or four came out?
Yeah.
What's four? 2 years old now? 3 years old now?
Four is a few years old. Four is... I think if you were, like, four when four came out, you could watch this and enjoy it. Like, I think you need... I feel like it's going to be a little more complicated than... not that a little kid can't enjoy it, but it might be a little intense for them.
It's going to be intense. I don't know if it'll be more complicated.
I mean, I think so. Based on the time stuff, I think it'll be a little complicated.
I think it'll... What's complicated is what is complicating us, which is, how does this actually connect to that other series? Yeah. I think kids might be like, I don't get it.
But look at us. I mean, we're being shackled by canon, right? Like, does it have to fit? It doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't have to.
And you could go back to last week's episode.
We're just taking all the elements, right? Canon. And, like, repurposing them and making this other cool thing about, like, well, who is this person?
No,
I hope they never do this with Woody, because I'll be bored to tears.
Oh, God, yeah. unless they really do it. Like, it's like fucking, you get, like, Woody Harrelson to play Woody, and it's just, like, such a... It's just fucking dark as fuck. Didn't they actually do this idea with an animated series? Wasn't there a Buzz Lightyear show? Yes, there's a Buzz Lightyear,
like, Space Rangers show on...
which I think was supposed to be the show that Andy watched.
It would have been on Disney XD if it was out now, but at the time I think it was just on Disney.
Disney Channel.
Yeah, and it was out, I think, between 2 and 3?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
And it was just like a straightforward Buzz Lightyear show. Buzz Lightyear looks like the toy.
Right.
With his Space Rangers. He had like a group of, like, he had his team, and they would fight Zurg, and they would go on missions. And it does seem to be the show that Andy would have watched with the toys based on. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Very brightly colored, a lot of fun. I've actually seen a few episodes. It's cute. Yeah, it's fun.
But I guess it's not the same characters, right? They're like the...
Oh, the...
The partner, the African-American partner.
I don't know. I don't remember, really.
So there's...
I don't think it's based on that.
Yeah.
Well, let me see.
So there you go. No canon.
No.
Still thinking about canon.
We're still thinking about it. I mean, we're always thinking about it, right?
How can you not?
Let's see. Space Rangers. Okay.
Sound too thick in that? Was that Tim Allen or someone who sounds like Tim Allen?
Ooh, let's see. I don't know that he has a brother like Tom Hanks has who can... Okay, so it's kind of a weird animation style. Buzz Lightyear of Star Command is the name of the show. Like, you can see...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not... I mean, it's...
It's cute. Yeah.
Yeah, but it looks more fun. It looks more kiddish.
It is fun. Let's see if they have... Oh, and he has black hair. I don't like that. Ooh. No, he shouldn't have black hair.
What, should he have purple hair?
No, I always imagined him as like a blonde. To counteract Woody's brunette.
He looks like a brunette in this new film.
He does.
You never really see his hair.
No, you don't. But I don't like it jet black. Like, who do you think you are? Superman? No, you're not.
Who do you think you are?
You're not.
Buzz Lightyear. When the original Toy Story came out...
Mm-hmm.
I always imagined that it was like a parody of Power Rangers.
Oh, really?
Didn't you read it that way?
I didn't. I guess I didn't read it. Yeah. Get the hell out of here.
It
was Patrick Warburton was Buzz Lightyear in the show. That's awesome. And Wayne Knight was Zurg.
Makes a lot of sense.
Oh, that's really funny. Okay.
Who was Michael Richards in that?
Larry Miller was on the show.
Oh boy. Larry Miller.
Okay. Well, great. Patrick Warburton's a great Buzz Lightyear voice.
That makes a lot of sense.
I love that.
Because the father from American Dad just looks like
Patrick Warburton. Yeah.
And he looks like Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah. Yes.
Patrick Warburton, you know him from Soarin' over America.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So Tim didn't do that.
Tim didn't do it.
Tim was like, nah, I'm not going
to
do this.
No. Now I'd like to see a Patrick Warburton cameo in the Lightyear movie.
He fucking deserves one, I think.
Okay, so Power Rangers. No, I didn't see it as a Power Rangers thing. I mean, it was... I don't think I read it as this because I don't think I understood this at the time. But, like, it's a very... Like, once Sputnik went into orbit, and that like space race became like a,
right,
like everything was atomic, like it was the atomic age, and like culturally in like the 1950s and 60s, right, like that's right, what took over, and all the Howdy Doody shows and stuff went away. Like obviously that's what it's supposed to be referencing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But in the world of Toy Story, isn't Buzz supposed to be a contemporary?
Buzz is contemporary, thing, yeah. And then like, you Woody. Figure it's the 90s. Yeah. So it's not supposed to be the same. It's just like, it's weird because it's following,
I mean, it's this futuristic cultural
pattern of the 50s and 60s, but it's happening in the 90s where it's like.
Yeah. I mean, I guess archetypically, like, but like, Spaceman would be a step forward from Cowboy.
Yeah. But in the world of Toy Story, Andy doesn't watch Woody's show. Like, Woody had no idea he was a show. Because it's already an old toy when he has it.
Right, right. Doesn't part two show, like, who had Woody before Andy?
No, they don't. But there's fan theory / headcanon, I guess, that Andy's mom is the original owner of Jessie.
Oh, okay.
And the reasoning is because Andy in the first film and the second one, he runs around with a Jessie hat. He doesn't have a Woody hat. And the Jessie hat predates Jessie as a character. So he has a hat. It's like a red cowboy hat or cowgirl hat, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it seems like this is a very old toy that he owns, Woody. And he has this very old hat. And like either this woman just happened to be in a family that collected these things or someone nearby who just happened to have a Jessie doll. It was her family like who had these toys. So who knows?
And these things happen, right? Because you and your husband just gave your kids Ghostbusters toys.
That's right. So yeah, my husband's Ghostbusters firehouse is now our children's Ghostbusters firehouse.
Beautiful.
And now we're refurbishing, we're renovating, and they're destroying it and playing with it as they should, which is fun. Yeah, yeah. And I got like all the figures. The Easter Bunny came and gave them Kenner's Walmart line.
Sure, of course.
Which is really affordable, which I think is cool. They're like $14 each.
Yeah.
Which is great. So we got a few. Winston Zeddemore sold out.
Yeah, good for him.
Can't find him.
Good for Winston.
So they've got everyone but Winston, but when I find Winston, we'll get him. And they got the Ecto-1, and we already had to take the proton packs away because they poked each other in the eye with them.
Sure.
And you know, it's fun, it's cool, it's nice to see.
Yeah, it's very postmodern that what your kids are playing with are they're combining vintage toys with new toys made out of the vintage molds.
Yes, yeah,
because it's the new figures and the new Ecto-1.
And the cool thing is, so used to be if you wanted to get like replacement parts, you'd have to scour and like hope because you'd have to buy like a complete set that had everything for like $1 million or like get very, very lucky that someone had like a piece. But now because of 3D printing, everything is 3D printed. So you can find pretty much any replacement you need, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
I was like, we'll get a 3D printer and we'll get all the collectors we know and we'll take all the specs and the measurements of all their like original playsets and we'll just 3D print all the pieces, like all the replacement parts, and that'll be our like little Etsy shop online. We'll set it up.
Okay.
And that'll be our business.
Until John G. Hasbro shows up at your front door with a fucking cease and desist.
Kick him down the stairs in his wheelchair because he's so old. John G. Hasbro.
Interesting. All right, let's talk about Thor Love and Thunder.
Okay. Yeah.
This left me a little cold.
Okay. I kind of don't know what to expect. I kind of feel like we got this.
I feel like I know exactly what to expect.
Okay. Yeah. Well, when I say I feel like I don't know what to expect, I feel like we don't need any more of this story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 was a very cool diversion.
I loved it.
From the first two.
Absolutely loved it.
And you had Hulk in that movie, so you got the Planet Hulk storyline in there. And but now it's like Thor with the Guardians of the Galaxy, and you see him go from fat Thor to like in shape again Thor.
Yeah, he's working out.
He's kind of like lost.
Yeah, he doesn't know what his purpose is.
Yeah. But it's that Taika Waititi, Jack Kirby cosmic look.
I love that. Do we think Unkillable Loki will be back, like TVA Loki that we've seen in the Loki exists, even though he died, like even though Thanos killed him.
Yeah.
He still exists because, you know, they explain this. It's actually, I like this explanation as far as like fitting into canon, but in one of the films, he disappears because he holds on to the Tesseract for a second.
Oh, yeah.
That's not the Loki who died.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's a that Loki popped out and was immediately nabbed by the Time Variance Authority. And that's the storyline of the show Loki.
That's the one from the flashback in Endgame where they go.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. When he disappears, that's where he goes. So he still exists and he's sort of like in a bubble outside of time.
I see.
So he very much can come back if he needs to.
Okay.
And there's also like a million versions of him in Loki in the show.
Right.
Which is cool. Richard E. Grant plays a version of Loki.
Oh, right.
Very good one.
Right.
Yeah. There's an alligator Loki. That's fun stuff.
Yeah, I don't think there's an indication in this trailer of like who the antagonist is.
Well, we know who it is because of like set pictures and stuff and like casting announcements. So Christian Bale is the antagonist. And he's, I don't know his name. He's the God Killer. It's like he looks like Voldemort kind of.
Okay.
It's like another one of these hooded figures. He's all white. He kind of looks like a lizard. Like, I don't know his deal. Huh. But it seems to make sense as why, like, it looks like Zeus is in this trailer.
Oh, right.
Russell Crowe is playing Zeus.
Sure, why not?
Seems like that means Zeus is going to die because, like, whenever they cast someone that big, like, they immediately get rid of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there is an antagonist. Oh, when he shows up on that rock with Korg.
Yeah.
And they see that gigantic thing like dead on the ground. Yeah. That's apparently a god. And so now like the god killer is going out just like taking out gods. Why? I don't know. But that seems to be the thrust of this movie, which fine.
Sure,
I guess.
I don't want to repeat myself, but I've got a little fatigue when it comes to Marvel.
Yeah.
I might see this one.
Yeah.
Just because I like Taika Waititi's movies in general.
Yeah, I like him.
Jojo Rabbit's really good. He's a good director. I like that at least he is a funny voice in Marvel. He adds a campiness to Marvel that it doesn't break it like the way Joel Schumacher's campiness broke Batman. Like, it seems like we're fine with Taika Waititi being like, this is silly, right?
Yeah.
This is all silly, Billy. the most interesting thing in the trailer, which is the thing I'm most interested in, is
Mighty Thor.
Yeah, Jane Foster coming back. Which and becoming a female Thor, which also happens in the comics.
Right. But isn't it an alternate universe Thor?
I believe so.
Okay. So this seems like it then will connect with the multiverses, potentially. She's jacked.
Yeah, you know.
Jacked out of her mind. It's like Bill was like, there's an on-set picture of her like this. And I'm like, are those fake arms? They don't even look real on her frame. Like, she's so small. But Bill is like, it's like when Summer and Rick and Morty was taking all those roids. Like, that's
just
what
to beat
she
up those guys.
Like.
I'm going to give it to you. Gonna give it to you. Yeah, you know, this. I like Natalie Portman a lot. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be insulting. But she's not fun. And it seems like I was so surprised when I heard that she was going to do this movie. Because she's so barely in Endgame. It kind of felt like, what, did you just have scraps on the floor? Sounds like she said no. And then to like for her – and she's not at all in Ragnarok.
Right.
There's like a line about like she's busy.
Yeah.
She's not
she couldn't
in this movie.
Be with us.
So when I heard she was coming back to play a superhero, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
But maybe she wants to get paid, Daddy.
Yeah, come on. She's got to.
She wants some of that sweet, sweet Marvel money. She played the fucking astronaut who wore a diaper, and that didn't work out for her. So.
Did she?
Yeah.
Lucy in the Sky. I did not know that.
I think it's like a fictionalized version of Diaper Astronaut Lady.
Oh, my God. But that was a film?
But I didn't see it.
Was it a TV series?
No, Lucy in the Sky was a film.
Wow. Oh, I did not know that. Well, she has a rule.
And she played Jackie O.
She's on the... Well, I know that. She has a on-the-record rule that I always thought she was going to break. She hasn't broken it yet.
Which is what?
She will never do TV. She hasn't done it.
I'm sorry. I just gave myself a headache by
rolling
my eyes.
I know.
What is she, what is it, the 80s? What do you mean, I'll never do TV?
She will never do TV. She's... Now,
why?
We'll see. She's been on the record in a number of interviews and being like, I was told early on by... I want to say it was like Anthony Hopkins or something. But she was like, I was told early on by someone I respect very much in the industry that I should never do TV. But now it's like, that's where movie stars go. Like movie stars all go to TV. So I'm just waiting for her to break it. And then,
then she'll be in some Marvel show.
Then there'll be egg on her face.
Shut the fuck up.
So we'll see.
Shut up.
So we'll see if she ever does it. And it's kind of worked out thus far. I keep waiting for her to need a meal.
She's interesting because she's like,
go to TV.
It's interesting because she's like, she's kind of A-list, but also not.
She's
like,
won 2 Oscars? Did she win for Black Swan?
I don't remember.
She's been nominated. Like, sure, every time she goes away, she's comes like back and A-list, does a project that but she gets like, nominated she doesn't, for.
She hasn't. I'm trying to think of the last, like, hit she had. Was it Black Swan?
Maybe Black Swan. It's a big one.
I liked Annihilation, but no one would care about that.
Yeah, no.
Lucy in the Sky, you don't even know it existed. she, you know.
She did that, the Terrence Malick project.
Which one was that?
Vox. Vox something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I still didn't see that.
Yeah.
I don't. You know what? I don't think I've seen any Terrence Malick films.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I actually love a few of them. But Bill was like, it was like you put a screen, like a beautiful screensaver on, and I just fell asleep to it.
Yeah, that's the sort of like cliche of it.
There's so much, there's so little dialogue in these films.
Yeah.
At the end of New World, he's like, Janine, how could you expect me to watch this film and stay awake? There were literal crickets throughout much of it. It was like a noise machine.
Yeah. I mean,
Natalie Portman's there. She's got her big old jacked arm.
Good for her.
She's got Mjolnir, which has been reforged.
You bet.
Because Hela broke it.
Mm-hmm.
In Ragnarok, and that's an example of a movie that took mythological breaks in canon and made it work
right.
For
them. Isn't Hela Loki's daughter?
The Hela is Odin's daughter, but it does the thing that mythology often does, where it's like, oh yeah, all the stories you know, like all the kids that they have. Well, there was stuff before this, but then they got rid of it. They hid it. They buried it. They trapped it. And now we're going to bring it back because we need to bring about the end of the world.
Yeah.
So that's what they do. They're like, we didn't know we had a sister. It's like, yeah, well.
Sure.
Neither do a lot of Norse people know that I exist.
Okay.
So she breaks it. So that's why he has Stormbreaker, the axe.
Right.
But it looks like it has cracks in it when she catches it.
It's interesting because it seems like Thor's the only Avenger still doing movies, right? There's no more Iron Man.
There's no more Captain America.
I guess you do have...
Falcon is Captain America, but yeah.
Yes. I was going to say, but you have Black Widow. She just did a movie.
But she's dead.
Yeah, right. That was a prequel.
It was like a flashback. It wasn't really a prequel because it just happens in between.
But don't they make her sister like Black Widow? Isn't like Florence Pugh?
Yeah. Moving forward, I think she'll be the Black Widow. Yeah. But there's like multiple widows. But that was also a thing. Like it was a facility where they trained them.
We're getting
them.
Into that weird place of like... secondary, like they're doing Ironheart soon,
right?
So
yeah,
it's interesting because they will get to a tipping point.
Well, Spider-Man,
where they
have
to go, do we reboot something or do we stop this continuity?
Right?
Because we, you know, let's say it hasn't happened yet, but let's say the audience goes away and they become less popular, and it's been, you know, years since we've been with like Iron Man and these characters that we love.
Yeah,
do they go, let's reboot now?
There's opportunity to reboot with the multiverse stuff because it seems like, I mean, this is all heavy rumors, but yeah. I'm interested to see what elements are true. There's rumors that there'll be an Iron Man in Doctor Strange.
Oh, the Tom Cruise?
The Tom Cruise. Because way back in the day, Tom Cruise was like the dream casting for Iron Man. And so all of his like nonsense aside, I actually think that's kind of a cool thing to do.
That's interesting to do, yeah, for sure.
To do it and be like, well, it never happened, but now it's happening.
Yeah.
Just like for a moment.
Every time I see a trailer for the new Doctor Strange, I'm always like, eh. But I know I'm going to see it just because I want to see the shit. I want to see the fucking shit show. Like, it's rumored, but it seems really likely that Ryan Reynolds is in it as Deadpool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Professor X, you hear his voice.
He's definitely in it because we hear his voice.
Yeah.
But there's also, who knows what they'll pull out of their ass at this point. I'm still waiting for Ethan Frome. So I'll probably see
after that episode. Bill was like, "Okay, you need to talk to me about Ethan Frome. Who is this person? Why is there a sled?" I was like, "Wow,
it's a terrible book that they made me read in high school."
Yep.
Yeah. I think the other thing I'm interested in with the new Doctor Strange is that it's directed by Sam Raimi.
Sam Raimi. I know.
It's his first superhero movie. What, since
Spider-Man
3? Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder if his Spider-Man's going to be in it.
Oh, maybe. I mean, Bruce Campbell's got to be in there somewhere, right?
The whole...
he's in everything that Sam Raimi does.
I know, but he recently fucking said some real, like, fucking shady shit about Tom Holland.
Bruce Campbell?
Yes. He was basically, like, shat on all of Marvel. He was like, I was in the good Spider-Man movies anyway. Like, so I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Ted Raimi will be in it. He's got to be in everything.
He's got to eat.
Yeah. Oh, come on. So yeah, I mean, cause the whole Misha Gass with the multiverse, right? It's a fallout from what happened in Spider-Man and I guess what happened in WandaVision.
Yeah.
Right? Don't they both start the whole...
She accesses it. Doctor Strange has been really...
He broke it with what he
did. Focused on it. But in her attempts to, like, get Vision back and also make this, like, reality that she created for herself in WandaVision real, she taps into the multiverse because... They're basically saying, like, there is a way for your for you to have this as a reality, but you have to, like, study these dark magics or whatever. And then you see, like, at the end of WandaVision, she hears her kids' voices, like, Mom! And it's – they were never real on this earth, but, like, apparently somewhere out there they exist. There and kids. That's enough for her to be like, I need to figure out what this is because I want my kids.
Okay. All right. Well, she's definitely in the new film and Well, let's take a break. I'm exhausted. Let's take a break. We'll come back with the shish. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm here with Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
This is the Chill Shesh. This is the Shesh. We shall. What are you chilling with?
So, for the last, like 2 weeks or so, I've been chilling with Marvel. All things Marvel. I know. It'll put you right to sleep.
Oh, God. I thought we left that behind in the last segment.
No. In fact, that was why I was so prepared to deal with it in the last segment. Oh, boy. I've been watching so much of it. So I don't know what movie – I think it's Doctor Strange is coming out, and that's why we were motivated to do this. We also wanted to see No Way Home. We haven't seen it yet, and it's because we didn't see
– I'm the only person that really disliked it.
Right, okay. So we didn't see Far From Home, and then we were sort of interested in Moon Knight, kind of, and then Doctor Strange is coming out, and we wanted to see that. So I was like, we got to catch up, because since, like, last year, we haven't seen anything except WandaVision and Loki.
See, I pick and choose what I want to see, and I never feel like I have to catch up.
Because
I feel like it's so – I never find myself going, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I feel like it's in the zeitgeist.
Mm.
I know what happens in all these
like,
shows.
You'll know enough if you want to. But, yeah. Just being completionist and having done the legwork up till this point and then just falling off for no reason, I'm just like, okay, let's just do it.
The only thing that's coming that I'm, like, hyped about is Ms. Marvel.
Okay.
Because I like that comic a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very set apart from everything else.
Okay.
At least it will begin that way.
Yeah. So we did a weird thing where we watched WandaVision and then Winter Soldier was in between that and Loki. And we didn't watch that. And then we watched Loki. And those properties don't really tie in with each other. But, you know, it's all like Marvel being obsessed with canon. So we figure there's something in there. And like It seems like the through line is Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Julia Louis-Dreyfus plays a character named Valentina, who's like a some kind of villain in the comics, and like she keeps showing up, popping up, and doing stuff, which I love because I love her.
Yeah.
So we watched Winter Soldier, and then which was like fine. It was
the show.
The show.
Okay.
Yeah, we watched the Winter Soldier show, and so that's. What it made me, what that made me realize is that Winter Soldier and the Falcon are two characters that are more interesting than I thought they were. But the villain and like the bad guys, because they have to fight bad guys. And I think that's the weakness of Marvel, right?
They have to fight bad guys.
Without it, I actually think it would be a better show. But they could never allow that to happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they have to have them care about this other thing that's happening. And when really the drama between the two characters and like is what it ends up being is like a meditation on race and like why Falcon turned down the Captain America mantle.
Uh-huh.
And it's like you need to understand what it is for a black man to accept this shield and like everything that this country has done to African Americans and like why I maybe wouldn't want to become Captain America. And so it's that element is actually very interesting.
Okay.
They do kind of like tie up that storyline rather quickly at the end. And like, I was like, oh, you could have dealt with this.
Does he become Captain America?
He does. He does ultimately become Captain America at the end of the series. But that is interesting. So we did that. Then we did Far From Home, which is cute.
Yeah, I was a huge fan.
Fine. Like, I think Tom Holland is very likable.
Yeah, I think those movies get worse and worse.
Okay.
Homecoming, I think, is one of the best Spider-Man movies. But Far From Home...
I love Homecoming.
It's just... It's cute,
Far
like you
From
said.
Home is
and
cute.
No Way Jake Home, Gyllenhaal I think, is just a
fun
hot mess.
Villain.
Yeah.
He sort of falls off and becomes more insane as the movie progresses.
It was like... I think they did Mysterio in a cool way.
Yeah. Yes, in the sense that it's like, well, let's make this work. What do we have?
He's not
in
like
real
a magic. He's like, well, he wasn't magic in the. He was an illusionist,
he was an
right?
Illusionist,
right?
Yeah.
But they make him like a special effects kind of guy.
Yeah, it was that it's like all drone technology.
Yeah.
Right, and I think the explanations are cool. It's like he developed this illusion tech again. We have to tie it into the larger canon. So he works for Tony Stark.
Sure,
and they show him like backstage in a clip from. I think it's one of the Avengers
Iron
movies.
Man 3.
Oh, is it Iron Man 3?
I think so.
Okay. Where he shows like himself in a flashback that he's having.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that's the technology that we're using here. But then it's causing actual damage. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, they're military drones that are just shooting things and destroying things. So, I mean, that's fine. Even him just flying around is an illusion. Like, he's not actually flying around. I thought he had like an Iron Man suit, but he doesn't. He's not even there most of the time, which is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Zendaya. I like the characters.
Yeah, I like the characters.
J.B. Smoove is really good in it. He's
like,
very funny in it.
I like Ned. I like Zendaya.
Mm-hmm.
I do like Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
Yeah. And I think it does the thing that the best Spider-Man comics do, which is the tension between the fact that he's a high school kid and he's being asked so much at this young age. So that was fine. And then, oh shit, what was it? Oh, Black Widow was next.
Okay.
Black Widow was very good.
Okay.
It was very good. It was a spy movie. It was just like a good spy movie.
Yeah.
The supporting cast was excellent, like Rachel Weisz, David Harbour. They were fun.
Sure, yeah.
And Yelena, the Florence Pugh character, is the heart of the movie. And is a good choice moving forward because we haven't gotten where Hawkeye is next for us.
And she's in that, right?
She's in it, yeah. So I like that direction. Black Widow, of the stuff that we've watched to catch up, Black Widow is actually my favorite thing. It's very strong, I think. I think it's just like at one point she's watching a Bond movie and it feels like a Bond or a Bourne film.
Interesting.
But just with these Marvel characters in it. It's sort of own self-contained story, like General
Ross. I feel like those are the things that work the best for me.
Yeah. General Ross, who is Betty Ross's dad, like from Hulk, who somehow...
Well, he just died, right? So now he's not going to be...
Yeah.
And then he died and got canceled after death.
He was like a woman beater and stuff. Like,
I'm not defending him.
Not a great dude. So Black Widow, I would say, is my recommendation from all these movies. It's just strong. I like it a lot. Uh-huh. And then Eternals. We did Eternals yesterday.
How was Eternals? Because it seemed to me, it looked dull to me.
I'm honestly surprised by Eternals. Like, I'm Chloe Zhao directed it.
Uh-huh.
She did Nomadland. Like, she's an interesting director.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt sort of generic to me.
Yeah.
It's tough because you have to whole cloth introduce a bunch of characters. Whole new idea,
yeah.
Impose this hierarchy onto the universe as we know it that coexists yeah. with all the superheroes that, you know, I just named and more.
Yeah.
Explain why they don't get involved.
Yeah.
Explain when they do get involved and then take all that away in one film. So it's long. It's almost 3 hours. The villains that they're sent here to fight seem like putties in like Power Rangers speak.
Sure.
Like, they just seem like something that any of the Avengers could handle pretty easily.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make any sense that like they would be here at all. Yeah. Neil Gaiman did a run on Eternals a while back, I think like 2006 or something. A lot of his ideas are applied, but I don't really know anything about the comic series.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It wasn't great. I don't think it did very well for them. People are good in it.
Yeah.
You know, like Richard Madden's very good in it. Kumail Nanjiani's fun in it. Yeah. The actor who plays Makari, she's a deaf actor. She's very good. Yeah, Angelina Jolie's in it. Like, yeah. Salma Hayek. Like, they have big names in this. And it's just okay. But apparently it ties into Moon Knight somehow.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So you're going to watch that now, Moon Knight?
Yes. So next up is Hawkeye, No Way Home, and then Moon Knight. I think that's what we have left. Yeah. Okay. So that's we're just chugging along. We're going. Yeah, that's it. Hawkeye, No Way Home, and Moon Knight. That's what's next.
Okay.
Oh, and the voice of Blade is in the post-credit scene.
Of Eternals?
Yeah, Mahershala Ali.
Oh, he's going to be Blade?
Is playing Blade.
Wasn't he also Cottonmouth in...
Yes, Luke Cage.
Luke Cage?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but Gemma Chan, who is the lead in this film, she plays character Cersei, is in Captain Marvel as another character.
Okay, yeah. Okay. All
yeah.
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah.
And she's like, she's not a huge character in that movie, but she fights Captain Marvel, and she has like one of the funniest lines in the movie, so she's memorable. But then she's like, oh no, she's somebody else.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
she has a green skin or something, so they can get away with right. it.
Well, we've talked about this before, I think in our last full episode, but we didn't talk about it in the canon episode last week.
Yeah.
But the weird like place that like Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and the Defenders yeah. exist yeah. in Marvel canon. Like, are they canon? Are they not?
Yeah.
Where are they? Because then you watch No Way Home, right?
No, I watched Far From Home. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. But Daredevil's
but
in
you
it.
Know Daredevil's in it. Yeah, yeah, right. So it's not a surprise to you.
Yeah.
Right. So that just makes me go like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Right.
Because that's not he does not come out of the multiverse.
Yeah.
He's there before the multiverse is over. So he's yeah. just there as a lawyer.
Yeah.
Which makes you go, okay, then the rest should be there.
Right.
The rest of the Defenders. Mm-hmm. The fucking street
level.
Street level. Local heroes for hire.
Eternals are treated as greater than the Avengers, but they operate like street level. I guess is the best way to describe that.
Is it seems weird to be like, there's this team you know that's really important, but here's a team you don't know, but guess what? They've always been there and they're super duper important.
Yeah.
And you should really like them. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know.
Another thing that's weird about Eternals is they mention both Superman and Batman in it.
How so?
I mean, also Star Wars is in it, but like literally Star Wars is in it in the sense that like, in the background, when they're flying on an airplane, Star Wars is playing. And then later on, when they're in this person's house, a guy picks up a magazine and it's Star Wars is like very big on the cover.
Well, if we're doing all of this IP fucking Ethan Fromm shit, right? The big thing would be to do what they did in the comics in the 90s, DC versus Marvel.
Yeah, yeah. So
and I don't think anything's – I wouldn't see anything at this point is beyond doing. I don't know if you would do the Snyderverse people or what, but right.
Yeah, it would be very difficult to see, like, Robert Pattinson's Batman and, you know,
Thor. He'd be cool with Jessica Jones, though. Those two would fuck.
So, yeah, well, in one, like, it's like a one-off line, but one of the characters, Kumail Nanjiani's character, Kingo, has a valet. Mm-hmm. He calls it a valet, but Archer taught me that it's a valet if it's a manservant and you pronounce the T. So he has this person working for him, and one of the other Eternals is like, oh, cool, like Alfred from Batman. And then later on, a character...
So they're pop culture references, though.
Yeah, but then later on, Richard Madden, who does happen to look a lot like Henry Cavill. Uh-huh. Just actor to actor. They look alike.
Yeah.
And in it, his powers... And it's cool. It's cool because they all the Eternals have names that are like mythological names.
Okay.
But they don't match up exactly. And so they're like, oh, yeah, well, the stories kind of get...
Okay.
So it's sort of dealing with folkloric and mythological canon in that way.
Interesting.
So he plays a character named Icarus.
Okay.
And they're like, what about flying too close to the sun? He's like, that's something they made up when we used to live in Athens. Like, but he flies and shoots heat from his eyes.
Okay.
So he has Superman powers.
Sure, yeah.
So they're like, oh, yeah, that kind of... They don't actually say it, but it's like, oh, that kind of comes from him.
Interesting.
But he shows up and it's so striking to me because he looks so much like the actor who plays Superman.
Yeah.
And a kid is like, Dad, that's Superman. Dad, I saw him. He was on the news. That's Superman.
That's
so
weird.
Like Superman exists in this universe, this Marvel universe.
Superman the movie, though.
Superman the character.
Oh, right, the character.
Exists.
Okay. I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah? So, but it's just like a weird thing.
Trying to think of other instances of that.
It's just like, it struck me as so odd.
Yeah. No, it is.
It's weird because then it sets up its own internal structure of like, Batman and Superman exist in the Marvel universe, but they're fake superheroes. And in the real world, the Avengers are superheroes.
Right.
So weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all so far up its own ass. it can't see daylight anywhere at all.
It's weird. And then Harry Styles is there at the end, just being handsome.
Sure.
Lovely.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
That's what I've been chilling with. I've been going through it.
It doesn't sound very chill. sounds like work.
It does. It was a homework assignment that I gave myself for no reason because I don't have enough shit to do here.
Right. I'm watching the show Minx on HBO.
How is that?
It's very good.
Okay.
Jake Johnson.
I love him.
As a cigar-chomping 1970s porno mag editor is incredible. And any situation where he's like out of his depth, like I was just watching an episode where he has to go to a birthday party at the mob's house to try to like convince the mob to do something. And like, oh, he says something. He makes a terrible joke that they all like just ice him out on. they're like, excuse me? Like, oh yeah. They're like saying racist shit. So mm-hmm. then Jake Johnson's like, wow, you know, those filthy Sicilians are all thieves and bastards.
My God.
And they all like, what did you just say? And he's like, no. I'm an Italian person myself. Basically, it's set up in many ways as a lot like Glow, but I like it much more than Glow.
Okay, because that's what I thought when I saw it. I was like, oh, it's going to be like Glow. I didn't really like Glow necessarily.
This is much better. To me, this is much better than Glow.
Okay.
It's the 70s, and the main protagonist is this woman who's like a second wave feminist, mm-hmm. although she's very like white feminist.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she has this idea for a magazine, which is, it gets big into magazine culture, which is very cool. I also saw The French Dispatch, which is about a magazine. So it's something I've been thinking about. And so she has this idea for a magazine called like The Matriarchy Awakens. And it's like a super angry screed. And it's all just like articles about like the pill and equal rights and second shift and all of the things that are part of second wave. And in the beginning, she goes to a like convention where people pitch magazines to publishers, and she meets Jake Johnson's character, he's not slimy, but he's definitely like, he's a little sleazy, but he's a good person and he wants legitimacy himself. And you know, she's like, oh, you're a pornographer and blah, blah, blah. but nobody likes her shit. Everyone's like,
who the hell would want to read this?
Yeah, and everyone's just like, you know, like there's a part where she's like, she's pitching this on publishers and she's like giving examples and she's like, think about like Vanity Fair, whatever. And all the guys are like, yeah, those are great magazines. And she's like, okay, what do they all have in common? And she's like, they're nothing like this magazine. But then Jake Johnson contacts her and he's like, you know, I showed your magazine to some of my girls and they loved it. And I want to take a chance on you. But I you need to put – we'll do male nudity. So they'll
oh,
be –
okay.
So
in so between – it's like the Playboy articles that are so like –
in between these feminist articles are nude male pictures.
Wow.
And she's like, I don't know if I can do this. And just like there's a tension between them of she's always like – she's like a very Liz Lemon and he's like a very Jack Donaghy. Mm-hmm. Like he knows the answer to things. Like there's a scene where – they come to work and the cops are raiding the place and taking everything. And she's freaking out. And he's like, oh, no, it's just a raid. It happens a couple times a year. The cops come in. They take shit. I go to the local politician. I make a general a generous donation. We get our shit back.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of the – it's part of the way things work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of fun. It's really interesting. There's a lot of dick in it. If you want to look at dick, a lot of dick in the show. Yes, and Jake. If you like Jake Johnson, I fucking love Jake Johnson.
I love him.
I feel me and Jen have a very Jessica Day, Nick Miller relationship.
I could see that. I really could.
He's hilarious. Like at one point, he's like when he's trying to like pitch it to her, he's like, I don't mean like a schwanz in the face. he's not unprogressive, but he also talks like. Like a guy in the 70s. Like, he'd be like, I get it. Chicks have feelings. Like, we're going to talk about chick feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's constantly, like, saying the wrong thing. But but in a very Jack Donaghy way, he's often right.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't say that the show isn't itself. I don't think it's making fun of feminism.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe making fun of a certain strident version of feminism.
Mm-hmm.
But it the lead character like needs to loosen up.
Yeah.
That
always seems to be like, I mean, just it's with a, this show yeah. and with 30 Rock, it's like the idealists, the idealism coming up against like capitalism.
Right.
And how they have to adjust ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah.
To like work within this capitalist system because the system is so powerful order to survive.
It creates, just like with 30 Rock, it creates an ideology for the show that is in some ways complicated to track.
Because
you're like, is this show saying...
Pro-capitalist, pro-feminist, yeah.
And it just makes it messy. Because I don't think it's necessarily one thing or the other.
Right.
There is an episode I was just watching. I'm almost done with it. There's 10 episodes. I watched 8.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an episode where she has an article about the pill in it. And the episode begins with like this... couple, like the guy's the mom and his wife,
mm-hmm.
and he gives his wife the magazine and she's looking through it and then she sees the pill article and she's like, no, I'm a Catholic, this is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs a trucking business and he's like, he calls Nick Miller, Jake Johnson, and he's like, my guys won't deliver this unless you take out this article.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells her, and she's like, you're telling me that we work with the mob? And he's like, no, we work with truckers, and very often truckers are in the mob. So it's like, it's, you know, like he has to fix shit like that. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. It's cool characters. It's very funny. It's actually not very mean-spirited.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a lot of dick. If you want to see dick, there's a character with a huge, like the first model, their cover model is like this dummy with a huge dick. he comes late and he's like to the audition and they're like, why are you late? He's like, oh, I saw it was 12 and I thought it was 12 a.m. And like, why would it be 12 a.m.? And he just walks in and his dick is out and they're like, oh, would you get naked in the hallway? It's a really fun show. I'm glad I watched it. It was the kind of show, like, literally, like, I wasn't like, oh, I gotta watch this. I was just, like, looking through HBO Max, and I was like, oh, let me give this a shot. Mm-hmm. And I was just, like, drawn into it. I was like, oh, this is pretty fun and entertaining.
Yeah.
I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I have heard it is, like, the best movie, and basically people are just wondering, who's gonna give Michelle Yeoh her Oscar next year because Will Smith's not allowed to come back to the Oscars. Right.
So, we loved it,
mm-hmm.
but we went into it
with
people saying this is the best movie ever made.
Yeah.
And so you can't live up to that.
Okay.
So we didn't dislike it. We liked it a lot. You know, it's very interesting. It's very cool. what's his name? The actor who plays Short Round in Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom is in it as one of the stars.
And like very good.
Yeah,
too,
and
right?
It's one of the first movies he's been in a long time.
Yeah.
He's really good. She's really great in it. Her character was originally written as for Jackie Chan.
Yeah, and they
They're like, we should make it a woman, and it's very cool. It's very funny. It's a multiverse idea, but not an IP fest. It's just a cool. Like at one point, she's describing Ratatouille incorrectly, and she's like, you know, like the raccoon, raccoonie. And then, like, at some point, there is a raccoonie. Like, you see a raccoon on a chef's head. Like, it's just, it's really funny. It's really ridiculous. It's really good. I would check it out. What else? Oh, we saw Sonic 2.
Okay.
That movie would be great if we cut out 95% of the humans. We do not need humans, other than Jim Carrey.
Okay.
Like, we liked it, but we were
Did we keep James Marsden from the first movie?
Yeah. Oh. And there's just way too much of him.
Okay.
We don't need humans. We don't need it. Because now we have Tails, and we have Knuckles. We got plenty of furry cartoons running around.
We don't need any more characters.
I mean, to give any credit to Michael Bay, after the first couple of Transformers movies, he just got the humans out of there.
Yeah.
And it was just like, here's Transformers doing
things. Yeah, we don't need to have emotional drama between two people. Yeah, we don't need people. Like, is he going to say he loves her? I don't know.
Who gives a shit? Yeah. somebody needs to do that with this movie, because it's just like, all right, Jim Carrey should be the only human involved in
He said he's done after this, because he's old AF. He's like, I'm not doing this anymore.
This was his swan song, which is wild. He did the show Kidding, which we watched.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. That was like if Mr. Rogers had a kid that died in an accident.
Oh, I thought it was a died in an accident. Oh, okay.
But that ruined his marriage. It was interesting. I think Jim Carrey's a really interesting guy. That's basically. Oh, I'm reading a book that you'd love. It's from National Geographic. It's called Gory Details.
Oh.
And it's all like shit that no one wants to think about.
So, okay.
So like great. There's a chapter on taboos. There's a chapter on death. A chapter on insects.
Insects? I thought you were going to say incest.
No incest.
I don't want to think about that.
No incest. Insects.
Got it. I don't want to think about that either.
Did you know? I'm learning so much shit, and then like when I learn something, I tell it to Jen, and Jen's like, I don't want to know this. Stop telling me this. Like I was like, Jen, do you know there are two different species of mites that live on your face?
And
she was like, I don't want to know this. And I was like, they come out and fuck when you're sleeping at night.
Oh, my God.
And that's how they replicate. And she's like, please stop telling me these things. Do you know rats, like the general like city rat? They don't exist in the wild. They evolved with us.
Wild. That is crazy.
And they live close to us.
They always do.
So like they're around. They're around, baby girl. there's a family very close that it's probably living off of your shit.
Interesting. We used to have a very visible rat population across the street. Like, I would look out the window and I could see, like, rats running back and forth because, I shouldn't name the store, but a store that is very close to us was, not handling their garbage properly.
Oh, boy.
And it attracted rats. And so this went on for, like, a little while, and then the neighborhood got very mad at them.
Wow.
And got rid of those poor little ratatouilles.
They're always there. They're waiting for your poop.
Henry had a dream the other night. He said, I was on the rat road and I got sand in my shoes. And I was like, whoa.
What cool a poet.
What a poet. What a cool guy. What a cool guy you are, Henry.
I get what you're saying. I was on the rat road sand in my shoes, man. I get it.
That's what happens when
Imagine
you're on
Matthew
that rat
McConaughey
road.
Matthew saying that.
That would be in like a Lincoln commercial that he's driving
I was
the
on
car.
The rat
like
road.
When you're driving on that rat road,
got
don't
sand
get sand
in my shoes.
Shoes. By
New
Cadillac.
Lincoln Town Car.
Lincoln Town Car. Who's a Cadillac or Lincoln?
I have no
Whatever
idea.
It is. I'll buy it.
Hilarious. Geez, what else? Roaches sometimes make their way into our sinuses.
No.
But you don't want them to die because
I do.
That will rot. No, you want to get them out alive.
Oh, God.
Because if they die in your face, it's hard to get them out, and then that can infect your brain.
But if it's in my face, I want to die.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's not a pleasant thing. Oh, I talked about this on Cuckoo Banana, so I'm repeating myself, but you know, it's okay. Meerkats are the most murderous animal. The most murderous mammal. One out of five meerkats is murdered by another meerkat.
Wow.
They're murderers, and they eat babies.
I believe it. A lot of animals eat babies. Their own babies.
Yeah. Some ladies' babies that they want to fuck, and they're like, well, I'll kill any of your babies, and now you're single.
I'll give you more babies.
How about my babies? and then maybe we'll eat them. So if we're hungry. I'm learning all sorts of fun shit about death. And, you know, there's a doctor out there who's really trying hard to do a head transplant. Oh. And the world is like, please stop.
Please don't.
But he's like, nah, I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
He's like, I think I can do it.
I
feel like
I want to do it.
He really thinks he can do it.
Oh, a head transplant.
It's about the he feels like the real trick of the thing is to connect the spine. Uh-huh. But if you can do that, which he thinks he can, he hasn't done it yet, but he feels like he's going to do it. He had a donor. He had a guy who was like a paraplegic who was like going to do it, and then the guy backed out.
Uh-huh. Because he'd kill him.
Yeah, for sure.
He would decapitate him.
Yeah, yeah.
So wait, but where – so you have to do it on like a freshly dead person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, in international waters or something. I don't know. There's a lot – I'm reading a lot of interesting shit.
That is insanity.
It's a great, great book. Wow. It's so much fun.
Has he successfully done it with any other animals? Like pre-human?
Oh, I think he – no, I don't think he has. I don't think he has. But, you know, you think about technology, right? You think about how far we've gone. We will get to a point where it's possible. Mm-hmm. You've got to get the spine.
I don't think we're there yet, though. Because that guy who just got, like, a pig's heart, like a whole pig's heart instead of a valve. Because valves are fine. We do valves.
Yeah.
He died.
I think
a couple months after.
I think he may have actually done a head transplant with, like, mice or something. But, like, they only stayed alive for a few hours. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what kind of life is that? Probably a real horrible one.
Yeah.
So, gory details.
Interesting.
Reading it at night is a little rough. Especially the insect one. Because I was, like, squirming in my bed.
You might end up having a dream about being on the rat road.
I know. What is the rat road?
Can't stand in your shoes. I don't know. I have a theory and it's Encanto related. Because the character Bruno is associated with both rats and sand.
Yes.
So I think that's how they married in Henry's subconscious.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break.
Yeah.
Going down the rat road. We'll come back with obsessions.
And sand in our shoes.
Welcome to PCMC. We're back. It's obsessions.
That's right.
I was going to do an obsession that I'm not going to do.
Do you not have an obsession now?
I have one. No, I do have one. But this week I was saying to you, we usually don't share our obsessions pre-show.
Oh, I didn't watch that video anyway. So I That's have fine. Really no like frame of reference.
But I've been watching videos on Monster High, the doll collection.
Okay.
Because they're spooky.
They're like alternate brats.
Yeah. They're
like the Suicide Girls.
Don't
of
say
brats.
That to a fucking Monster High fan.
Though, oh, sorry.
Because they're like, fuck brats. The Monster High fandom is wild. First of all, there's a lot of trans people in it.
Okay.
There's a lot they like a lot of them are also makeup and cosplay people.
Okay.
And it seems
like it would be fun cosplay to do.
Because it's spooky. It's spooky fashion dolls. Mm-hmm. And then there was like cartoons and movies and stuff. And now they're rebooting it again. And if I had stupid money, I would buy these toys. Because they're awesome looking, these dolls. And some of them are so expensive. Like on eBay, they're they would do like exclusive ones. Like this one's in black and white. Like,
cool. Is there like a Nosferatu one?
There's a Pennywise the Clown one that like goes for like $500 if you could find it. There's Ghostbuster ones. But most of the original ones are like, there's Draculaura.
And those are like limited edition made by the company or they're like made by fans who like just
Do make their own ones. Uh-huh. But no, these were made by the company.
Okay.
But then like the regular line is like Draculaura is Dracula's daughter.
Sure.
Frankie Stein is Frankenstein's daughter.
Of course.
But anyway, because I felt like it felt like it's an interest, but it didn't feel enough to be an obsession. Maybe in the future it'll be an obsession. Right. So I'll tell you the thing I want to share with you. Mm-hmm. A little thing I just got recently. I'm very proud of it. It's a bit of a flex for me.
Okay. Nice. New York Public Library card.
I have a public library card. Of course, I had them as children. Mm-hmm. And then for like a while, you didn't need any. Mm-hmm. Like, you just give your name, whatever. And I guess you probably still don't. But I was like, I don't have a card. Yeah. I want a card.
So they had a specific COVID system, too. I got one during the pandemic. And then I guess when they decided that it was over, or like they were just going to revamp, I had to get a new one in the last like year.
I love the way it looks. It's very like minimal. Mm-hmm. It looks a lot like the one I had as a kid, except the one I had was all brown. This is red and like brown. Maroon. Yeah.
Yes.
It's got the lion on it. Knowledge is power.
I love that.
It's brown on the backside. Yeah, I went in. So there's a new branch here in Staten Island.
Oh, yes, that's right. By Target, right?
Yeah, out there. By the Charleston, Bricktown area. Yeah. So we were overseeing. Oh, we were seeing Everything Ever All at Once. Mm-hmm. And like outside of the movie, we like saw it. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, look. And it looks like an Apple store. It's very sleek and cool looking. So we're like, oh, let's go in.
They have like cool events there for kids that I've been seeing.
Yeah, and outside, I took a picture with it. Mm-hmm. Outside, there is a cat statue. Mm-hmm. Here's me with it.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, cool, cat statue. So we went in and I was like, can I get a card? I don't have one. Mm-hmm. And they were like, okay. They looked my name up in the system. They gave me a card. They gave me a pin for if I want to do ebooks. So I'm very excited about it because I spend a lot of money on books and, you know.
Okay, so when Henry was born, I have and still have like this crazy long list of children's books that I wanted to read, and I started buying them, right?
Yeah.
And they're stupid expensive. They're like $15 each, easy.
Yeah.
Like $25 each sometimes. And they're picture books, you know? They're beautiful. And sometimes I'd get them not having like been able to preview them, and I'm like, "Oh, this isn't that good. Like I wish I hadn't purchased this." And so that's when we started getting everything from the library.
The library serves a great purpose.
And I get every book that I want typically off this list.
Yeah.
And some of them I'm like, oh, these are great. I'm going to put a pin in this. Maybe I'll buy some.
Yeah.
But most of the time I'm like, oh, cool. We read it. Let's bring it back.
Yeah.
So I use the library a lot. And we go to story time there.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Peter's an enemy of the library.
I'm sorry?
He is so rambunctious at story time. And Henry sits like transfixed. And Peter, I'm like, I'm wrestling him basically. He's so disruptive that like we can't bring him to story time currently. In his current state of evolving.
Yeah. It might be a little too like down key, low key for Peter.
He's
right
just
now.
At that peak destruction age. So gotta get rid of him. Get rid of him.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We need someone more literate minded.
Yeah. Come on, kid. So I'm excited to have a library card.
That's awesome. Having fun isn't hard when you have a library card.
When I was a kid, I loved the library. I used to go every day because I was a little nerdy alone kid. So the library is your friend.
Yeah. We have a branch right here, walking distance. And we walk there now. And I walked there as a kid. And it's awesome. I love it.
I don't know if maybe when I was growing up, the branch I went to wasn't very kid friendly. But it feels like they're way more kid friendly now.
This branch here, they do stuff for kids. Yeah. It's not like what you want a library to look like, I think, in your head. It looks like an office. It just looks like a weird old office.
They all kind of, they're odd looking. But I love a library. I love like, going to old libraries.
Oh, yeah.
I love a university library. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a lover of libraries.
You're a library head?
Yeah, whatever. what are you obsessed with?
I am obsessed with, so again, it's actually unusual that I watch so many movies and TV shows lately because I mostly just watch YouTube videos. but the YouTube videos that I watch the most are clean or like deep clean and decorate with me.
Okay.
So like decorating for holidays and then deep cleaning videos.
What does deep cleaning mean?
It's basically just like going pulling the couch out and getting behind the couch and like doing like not just tidying up and like wiping down surfaces and stuff. And it's serving this weird function that the show Hoarders used to serve for me. But now I'm just like too saddened by the humanity of it that like I used to watch Hoarders and be like, gotta clean the house, like time to go and then just like get going and clean up. I can't do that anymore. I get too sad. So now these are really scratching that itch of like, I'm going to, you know, because I have to tidy up a million times a day because I got two little kids running around. And I usually keep the house pretty clean, but now it's like decluttering. Let's spring clean. Like the house is in flux currently. Because like we're getting rid of holiday stuff. You know, just we're going to do a garage sale in a couple weeks and just try to get rid of things. But now then it's like the deep cleaning aspect. Like we got to just clean the baseboards and vacuum shit. Yeah. And then
would you call yourself a clean person?
Yeah, I would say I'm like, I'm a neat and tight. I try to be tidy. I'm like a tidy person, you know?
I'm definitely, because of my OCD, I'm definitely clean. Mm-hmm. I cannot stand dirtiness. And I'm pretty tidy, but that tidiness might, to someone else, look chaotic. Because I'm a busy, cluttered person. Mm. You know, like there's a lot of shit, and you might be like, "Why is this here?" And I might be like, "Let me explain to you why this is here."
I'm getting to a point currently where I'm like getting anxious with the amount of like toys and stuff. We gotta go. Like things gotta move. Like I'm looking at like two cars here that are like going right to the basement, like probably tomorrow.
Well, another good thing about the library is books stack up so fucking quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like,
and no one wants them. One wants to take them from
Nobody wants your books. So you end up having to, if you get rid of them, the best way to get rid of them is to recycle them.
People are like, donate them. I was like, no. Nobody wants them. No, prisons don't want them.
You can't give them away.
You cannot give books away.
Because so, also, yeah, like, the books you have, like, everyone has. Like, who needs your copy of fucking Da Vinci Code?
And then it's like, it breaks my heart because, of course, I love a paper book, right? But, like, if I'm going to purchase something now, I, like, increasingly do Kindle because it's, less of a footprint. And also, I don't have it in my house now.
Yeah. And I can read it at night. Yeah. Reading at night is so hard with a real book.
Now that you have a library card, you can use the Simply E app.
Yeah.
Which is how I've also been reading a ton of books.
Yeah.
And they have most things. Like, they have waiting lists, which is weird to me. I guess I don't understand. Because
they treat it like it's physical, even though they don't have to.
Yeah. Maybe I just don't understand.
I don't know. It seems like a choice they made.
But it's like, why do I have to fucking wait for a file?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Like, why can't it just be shared? Why don't we just clone it? Because
that's how files, that's how digital media works.
Copy and paste? Like, why can't I have it?
Yeah, it's very weird that they do that.
I don't know. But anyway, I'm waiting on a couple of books that look good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel comfortable in your house? Do you feel like you're out? You're outgrowing your house?
I think we could very easily outgrow our house if we don't constantly prune. Like, if we don't constantly declutter.
Pruning is important. Yeah.
Because it's just the nature of having kids, right? Like, especially, like, when it was just the two of us, we did not have this issue. With children, like, they grow out of clothes very quickly. Their toys are no longer developmentally appropriate for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, there's just stuff that comes in every Christmas and birthday, and stuff that has to go out. I used to have a one-in, one-out policy. I've, like, eased up on that, but now I realize, like, I might have to reinstate that policy. Yeah. But anyway, I find them very inspiring, these videos, in terms of, like, okay, this is going to motivate me. I remember, like, back in the day, you're like, whenever I need to, like, get motivated to start exercising, I put on Rocky. And I watch all the Rockies, and I get going. This is like my clean house version of Rocky, where I have to watch. I like this woman, Lauren Nicholson. Also, there's also this like weird like sexist thing happening in the videos, where it's like frequently the women. I don't actually want to look this up and see if there's any like male deep clean with me's, because it's almost always women. So it's falling into these like very gendered norm stereotypes of like what women should be doing, whatever. That's neither here nor there. But it's always like a woman who's like, I have four kids. I work full time as an executive, and I'm going to deep clean my whole house several times this week. And you're like, really? Yeah, this is how you're going to spend your time. Like, you seem like a very busy person, but definitely your house should be spotless. It's like, the bar is set so high. It's like, you need to be a perfect mother. Your house needs to be decorated for absolutely every holiday. It needs to be spotless. You need to have a job as an executive working full time, 40 hours a week at least.
Yes.
And also, you have a lot of kids, not just one or two. Like, you got a whole gaggle running around the house. So it's that element of it, I'm sort of, you know, you can't not see it. right? Yeah. If you're critically viewing things, if you're like critically consuming culture all the time, like you can enjoy something and also be like, this is probably good for me.
Well, yeah, it's that version of feminism that's like girl boss. It's like that girl boss feminism.
Uh-huh.
Like earlier today, Jen sent me a TikTok of this woman talking about why she doesn't want kids because she saw a video of a mother eating an ice pop and the kid asked for it and she gave it to it. And she was like, but what if that was the last ice pop? And I was like, Jen was like, I understand this. And I was like, this is why we're not going to have kids. you know, that's our version. That's Jen's version of feminism. She does not want to share her food.
There's a TikTok of this woman just like taking a bite of like a fun size candy bar.
Yeah.
And then you just hear, Mom. And she like shoves the whole candy bar and the wrapper in her mouth.
Yeah.
Like every mom I know, like that I sent that to, were like, oh my God, this is so loud. It's just like, I haven't been able to eat any food in front of my children without giving them some of it.
Yeah.
Even if they're eating the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
Yours is better. Bill, when we go to his parents' house, his mom loves Diet Coke, and she always drinks, like, she's very specific. She has to drink, like, a bottle of Diet Coke, not a can, not a glass.
Sure.
Every time. We'll walk in. Hi, Mom. Grabs her Diet Coke and takes a swig of it. I'm like, what? It's like a power move.
Yeah.
It's like asserting dominance. Like, I still take your food. I'm almost 40. Like,
I take your food. That's so interesting.
Like, you survived off my body for 9 months.
And now you must still sustain me.
You're still going to take my food from me, my nourishment.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So is there any sort of ASMR involved in it?
A little bit. Yeah. Because it's satisfying. It's satisfying because it shows you the mess before and then the cleaning, and then it's like all very neat and clean afterwards.
Those are very addictive.
So it's very satisfying. Videos. Yeah. And then also, like, there's this element with it's clean and decorate. So now it's like, I love decorating for holidays.
Sure.
So, and she does like spectacular Halloween things, you know, for every season. And then, of course, then I'm like, oh, I should do that for like why not make St. Patrick's Day a bigger holiday in my house? Like, why not? I like leprechauns. I like that shit. Why not? And like everything's from the Dollar Tree. So it's very affordable. You can just do it.
Yeah.
You know, when you're not taking care of your four kids or like working as an executive, just go to the Dollar Tree and get all this nonsense. So that's I got way more into Easter this year than I ever have. As you can probably tell, there's like all kinds of eggs and shit around the house.
Yeah.
That's the area where I have to scale back a little bit, because now my major storage is like holiday decorations that I have everywhere.
Yeah, I've got a lot of that too. But you know, I guess I'm more narrow-minded. Like, for me, it's Halloween's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. Christmas is a less big deal, but still pretty big. Mm-hmm. And then everything else I don't decorate for. Like, I would never decorate for...
I would decorate more
for seasons. Like, I would do spring.
I did spring last year, not Easter, just spring.
Yeah.
And I kept those up through May.
And like...
Because it was just flowers and stuff.
St. Patrick's Day, I don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
But I don't give a shit about holidays other than Halloween and Christmas.
Yeah, I can never get it up for Valentine's Day.
No.
Yeah. No, I've gotten into Easter in the last couple of years. Well, because of kids, right? So, like, egg hunts is fun now. Like, as an adult, like, who cares about Easter? But, like, for little kids, it's fun. I know, even though it's, like, if you're religious, like, that's the big holiday, right?
I guess.
It's supposed to be. I remember, like, getting lectured by nuns being like, you know, everyone's crazy about Christmas, but Easter's the one we're supposed to like. And I'm like, oh, lady.
You know what, lady?
Get out of here. You're married to Jesus. Like, of course you're going to say this stuff. You're going to bed mouth your husband.
I mean, birth is more interesting than death.
Mm.
Or rebirth.
Oh, man. But, yeah, so that's what I've been doing. Not to put this poor woman, Lauren Nicholson, on blast. She actually does have four children and is apparently a wine executive, so good for her.
All right. But you like her videos.
I do like her videos. I like her totally different style. Like, she's a very, like, traditional decorating style. Like, like Grecian busts and, like, stuff that just looks like, I don't know. It just doesn't fit, but I just like her approach, and I like her holiday decor, and she's like really into Halloween, which I love. So
of course. Well, we're halfway to Halloween, so of course I'm starting to think about
it. Oh, you gotta think about it.
Yeah, I got this book, I think last year or 2 years ago. It's a book of, you know, I don't know if I ever say it right, but Beastel. Bisto Halloween decorations. They were they were a German paper company from the early 20th century.
It's probably like Beisel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's a lot of like this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of the iconography of... so I got a book of like their history and like a bunch of their shit. You really like it. It's and you've seen these
things before. I had like this Dracula. Yeah.
Everyone has had that Dracula and that witch and that skull. Mm. Yeah, like very cool. Like their cats are very cool.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. So yeah,
I didn't know that they were German. It feels very German actually. Now that you say that.
Yeah. So Halloween decorations are I think very important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you see I have on my this is like something just in parent communities, like the Nugget is this like play couch that is over there and mine used to be gray, but the Easter Bunny in his generosity decided to gift us with the Monsters Inc. one.
Yes,
it's just a cover set.
It's got the seats look like
Sully's fur,
and then the
and like
chairs
a Mike Wazowski
eyes
like pillows.
That's very cool.
It's very, very fun. So we went a little...
Well, that's all right.
We're going a little cuckoo crazy
in
here.
They're only really young once, and then it goes away.
I know. They're just going to be spoiled rotten adults.
No. Life will hit them fucking like a brick like everyone else. So those are called Nuggets, these little couches?
Those little couches are called Nuggets. They have like a cultish online following.
Why?
People are obsessed with them. People buy like 5 of them and they're not cheap.
Do they come in different sizes? I mean, different styles?
No, yes, they come covers, like limited edition covers, then sell for like crazy high prices.
Wow.
Which is wild. This is actually a limited edition cover, but I just got it because I liked it. But... Yeah, you can build like forts with them and make slides with like functioning slides.
Oh, so they can like rearrange them.
Yeah,
and
you can rearrange them in a bunch of different ways. And there's really fun things you can do with them, and the kids love it. We really do play with it a lot.
Isn't it amazing when you find you might not subscribe to it, but like when you find a new fandom community like Monster High, when you're like, whoa, like. I've just dipped my toe in, and it's like, whoa, you guys have a whole thing here.
I'm just going to back out.
You guys have a way of thinking.
Yeah.
You all like the reboot sucks. Oh, yeah, of course the reboot sucks. Yeah, you all know.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yes. Like there are very strong opinions about the collections, the covers, the various, I love
them. Are people without children who get them?
I don't know, but I imagine there has to be. Right.
Yeah.
There's also like if you're reselling a Nugget, which so during the pandemic, I guess we're still I always say during, but you know, whatever. At the beginning, right? Because of like supply chain issues and like all these other things, you couldn't get a Nugget. You had to get on a wait list for like months. Whoa. And people were reselling their Nuggets for like thousands of dollars, which is nuts. But now in like Facebook online communities, apparently like you have to tag your Nugget if you're selling it as no Nugget after dark, which means that once the kids go away, the adults come out to play and use it as sex furniture.
People fuck on these Nuggets?
People fuck on them.
Okay. Yeah. I get it. Are there videos we could find of this?
I mean, I don't know. I have not looked, but they call it Nugget After Dark. And then there's also... there's
the community you need to get
communities
into.
Communities called Nugget After Dark. We're like, have you ever tried this one? I'm like, my kids play on this. Oh, juices all over. My God.
That's what I want to look into.
You're like super into Nugget After Dark.
Nugget
so it's this wild.
Dark.
Yeah.
I love anything.
So it is a full blown community.
Suffix After Dark.
Yeah. After Dark.
One day we will launch PCMC After Dark. Which I don't know what it'll be, but
our PCMC episodes are always after dark.
Yeah.
So we're just like, oh,
but this will
it's
be
time to
only
go.
Talk about porn, I guess. I don't know.
That's it.
PCMC After Dark.
Yeah. So just I've been on the other side of that thing that you're saying, like where you discover there's like a crazy community and you had no idea.
Yeah.
And then you need to like just respectfully back out. I've been on the other side of that where someone mentions like, oh, I saw the new Marvel movie the other day. And they're just like a normal human being who saw a movie. And I'm like, oh, well, did you see this and that and this and the other thing? And they're like, I got to go over here.
I find that happens with people too. Like, they'll be like, oh, me and my family are going to Disney World. And I'm like,
you
got to go to this restaurant and fry this treat. And they're like, you want me to go to a specific restaurant to eat a specific thing?
Yeah.
I'm there to go on rides. Right. What are you talking about?
I know. We kind of like piled on Anthony in the group chat.
Well, he's we're like, we'll go over here and go over,
I know, which I'm loving. But I'm like, well, get the, like, yeah, we were saying, like, go to Pung Pung, get the Lumpia, then go to get the Night Blossom. Yeah. He's just like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm in Animal Kingdom right now. I'm going to go find pizza.
Yeah. We were like, you have to get
the Pineapple Lumpia.
So fucking good.
I'm going to try it because you got to try it. But
I fucking love
it. I have
it.
So much to try.
It was my favorite thing about Pandora.
I know, and it's so controversial. Did you like the blue milk? Because that's another controversial
one.
Oh,
in Star Wars?
Yeah. People don't love it, or they do love it.
I didn't. There's two kinds, and I didn't get both kinds.
Okay.
No, no. There's also like the kind you can buy outside on a stand, and the kind you get in the bar are different.
Oh, okay.
I got the one from the bar, which came with a Wookiee cookie.
Oh, Wookiee cookies are good.
But I don't know. The whole bar thing. Maybe we were tired, but like it was the end of the day. We had to wait on the line just to get in the bar. We had a like quarter space that we can stand in. And then we ordered two drinks and, like, we just drank them. It was like, I don't know. It could have been us. But we were, like, at that
point. I've been hearing. I mean, DFB is, like, a little meh on it.
I mean, maybe if we were eating, it would have been different. But
no, they said the food there is awful. Okay. Like, don't eat it. So. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did, like, they had a vegetarian thing that was, like, it basically was, like, impossible meatballs. But, like, everything's, like, alien testicles or whatever. So I did like something I ate there. But there's also that weird popcorn thing. We go on rides and we don't think about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're just going.
We're not thinking about it.
For the fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why put that much effort into this trip? It's supposed to be a fun time.
Yeah.
Give yourself impossible goals.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I get it. I don't. You got to pick and choose. There's so many fandoms in this world.
Right. And you know what? Whatever makes you happy. If you like Nugget After Dark.
God bless.
Then enjoy
yourself.
Just
stay off my Nugget because I don't want you after darking on my Nugget.
Don't be fucking on my Nugget.
Stay off the rat road. Don't be fucking on my Nugget.
One of these will be the title of this episode. I don't know. Probably stay off the rat road because... I don't want to fucking on my Nugget. As much as I love it, wouldn't look good as a title.
It sounds so good though. If it's a no fun to say.
No fucking on my Nugget. It's the assonance.
Yeah, I guess.
I never know how to say that word.
Assonance. Yeah.
Assonance. Well, we've hit that delirious spot, so I guess we're done.
We gotta go.
Jeannie's gotta go fucking her Nugget, and I have to go home. I have to go home, get into bed, take out my book, read two sentences, and pass out.
Immediately pass out.
I read so slow because I read a sentence at a time.
Oh, my God.
Every night I'm like, can't wait to read my book. And then I'm gone. This is PCMC. This is a podcast about pop culture, ephemera, non-toxic fandom, and all the things you love.
Yeah.
I am joined today by Jeannie Gagliardi. She's here a lot.
I'm here.
She'll be back soon to talk about
Love, Death, and Robots.
Love, Death, and Robots, Volume 3. That should be a long one.
Oh, boy.
We end every episode by saying...
Go bye-bye.